Thank you for listening, but please be advised that I don't just believe shit I hear on podcasts, and I highly recommend that you don't either. Be skeptical and look into things for yourself. If you find that I was wrong about something, the best thing you can do for me is to let me know. You can do that at livingthroughextinction@gmail.com. Please also be aware of the fact that I do swear and I don't bleep anything out. So listener discretion is advised. I'm Ruby, and this is episode 106 of Living Through Extinction, a short-to-the-point podcast with science and skepticism, environment and wildlife, and stuff I find important or interesting that I want to learn more about. Today I talk about a new project to create an Americanized version of the Bible, the first fine issued in the U.S. for space junk, snails nibbling on snail mail, banks investing in companies using threatened species in their products, and I finish off with a fantastic medical breakthrough. Stick around for what appears to be an effective cure for sickle cell anemia. If you've joined me before, then thank you for returning. I really do appreciate you. If this is your first time listening to Living Through Extinction, welcome. I hope you find it both fun and informative. And if you're interested in supporting the show, all the possible ways are listed after the final segment and thank yous. A few episodes back, I talked about Conservapedia. What I didn't go into in that segment was the Conservative Bible Project, which is hosted by Conservapedia and its creator, Andrew Schlafly. According to Schlafly, who I discussed in the Conservapedia episode, they aim to create a new English translation of the Bible and remove all of the liberal bias contained in it. You know, like turn the other cheek and all that Jesus stuff. One of the things to go is the whole "let him who cast the first stone" section. That's apparently liberal bias too. Basically, anything that involves being good to other people is liberal bias and has to go. I mean, why not just denounce the New Testament altogether and go with the old? Take Jesus out of it completely if that's the way they want to go, right? Another thing to be removed is the prayer Jesus makes on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That also has to go. Because these American Christian conservatives are about the vengeful God, not the forgiving God. How are they reaching these translations? Are they using the original texts? No. Are they translating from Hebrew, from Greek, from Latin? No, no, and no. Because though they call it a retranslation, that's not what's being done here. Andrew Schlafly is going through the King James Version of the Bible in English and changing it. That's it. He's just making it say what he wants it to say by keeping this part and cutting that part and by replacing specific words with other descriptors. And of course, you can bet he'll be adding his own little bits as he goes. It's literally an admission that he's going to make a version of the King James Bible that says what he wants it to say. And that means no more of what he calls woke Jesus. For this new Bible version, specific words and concepts that he feels threatens his idea of Christian conservatism are out the window. It's wild because I was just telling my mom last year that we were on the verge of a new version of the Bible and a new Americanized version of Christianity. And I bet she thought I was overreacting. A few other changes we're going to see in this new Americanized Bible. The word "murder" is to be replaced with "kill." By separating the two words, they can continue to justify capital punishment and war while continuing to criminalize things like abortion. The word "rich" is to be replaced with "miserly" because the verses which use "rich" make wealthy Christians feel uncomfortable. Aww, poor rich little grown-ass babies. The word "liberal" is to be replaced with "generous." We know why with this one, right? Liberal is a slur to these dumb fucks. They are so butthurt by the word that even when it's used in a non-political way to describe a general quantity of something, they can't fucking handle it. And oh my gosh, the reasoning behind this last one. They are removing grace from the Bible. It is to be replaced with boundless generosity. Why? If you're like me, you're thinking, what in the world could they possibly find wrong with the word grace? Well, apparently the entire reasoning is that it's a girl's name. Seriously. I wonder what's going to happen with words like "hope," which are strewn throughout the Bible as well. A lot of this is just so fucking ridiculous. Be skeptical, damn it. On episode 46, I talked about the idea of the space sweeper and how current regulations make it so if you now put something in orbit, you have to have a plan for its end of life. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission has issued its first space junk fine to Dish Network. It's for violating anti-space debris rules for decommissioned equipment. Dish Star's EchoStar 7 satellite was in space for over 2 decades. At end of life, instead of following regulations to properly dispose of it, they sent it into what I saw called a disposal orbit at an altitude low enough to cause a risk of orbital debris. Think of the episode Dead Like Me, where she gets killed in the first episode from a piece of the space station. Except it most definitely wouldn't have been a toilet seat someone might have been hit with in this case. Still would have been deadly as fuck, though. Also, if you haven't, watch Dead Like Me with Mandy Patinkin. It's about dead people who become reapers in their afterlife. The fine to Dish Star was $150,000 for failing to properly deorbit their product. It turns out the animal-based glue used to hold many envelopes together is a tasty snack for snails, and it's causing some damage to people's letter mail. One post box in Luton in England has the most determined snails. They are being removed every single day, but just keep coming back. Apparently, this has been going on for about a year now. There's a sign on the post box that reads, "Whilst you are very welcome to continue using this post box, we wanted to mention that your letter mail may not arrive without some nibble marks around the edges." Unquote. And this isn't an isolated thing. As I was looking into this, I also came across something about post boxes in Cornwall having to be sealed off to keep the snails out. I guess they decided it wasn't worth the trouble to be cleaning them out every single day. So if you get mail from England with nibbles around the edges, it's very likely a group of snails that caused those marks. It turns out many of our global banking corporations are investing in companies which produce Chinese medicines. The reason we should care about this is that many of these medicines contain leopard or pangolin parts. Both of these animals are considered to be threatened, which means they are at a very high risk of ending up on the endangered species list. Both of these animals are part of the CITES Treaty. That's the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora. The international commercial trade of these animals or their parts is prohibited. This is to keep them from hitting that endangered list. According to the Environmental Investigation Agency, more than 60 banks and financial institutions have been identified as investing in at least one of 3 pharmaceutical groups which make products containing leopard and pangolin parts. Many of these banks have actually released statements about how they are improving their environmental footprints and doing better for wildlife and nature. And then they endorse this shit by investing in it. What the fuck? Leopard bone is used in Chinese medicines as a substitute for tiger bone. Tiger bones are believed to strengthen bones, provide pain relief, and more. No, none of this is legit. It's all woo medicine not backed up by scientific skepticism or facts in any way. Pangolin scales are believed to aid in blood circulation, lactation, help with pain, and more. Again, none of it is backed up by science or facts. Shame on these banks for supporting such a thing, especially when projecting to your clients that you supposedly care about these things. If you want to know if your bank is on the list, go to the Environmental Investigation Agency and see for yourself if they're one of the ones identified. The US is the second country to approve a CRISPR therapy after the UK. In both cases, it's been a treatment for a sickle cell disease. It's called exa-cel. This latest progress with CRISPR treatments is amazing. One of those things that would have been seen as magic a century ago. The companies Vertex and CRISPR Therapeutics are providing this breakthrough treatment, which effectively cures the sickle cell disease called sickle cell anemia. Patients have been followed for over a year so far, and there's no sign of any issues and no reason this shouldn't be a permanent solution. For sickle cell anemia, there are mutations in the gene called HBB. This gene affects the protein's structure, and this is what causes the twisting of the round red blood cells into a curved sickle shape. The reason this is an issue is that they can get caught and clog up blood vessels in this shape. For healthy circulation, we need the smooth, round, red blood cells that most of us have running through our veins. These clogged vessels will lead to severe pain and fatigue in a person's everyday life. Not fun. So what this exa-cel treatment does is send an enzyme called Cas9 to a gene called BCL11A. I know, but stay with me here. BCL11A prevents our body from making a form of hemoglobin found only in fetuses. Cas9 deactivates BCL11A in the bone marrow stem cells where the red blood cells are produced. When this is complete, the bone marrow cells are no longer blocked from producing fetal hemoglobin. So the patient will begin to produce the fetal hemoglobin and they will create normal, round, red blood cells to repopulate their body with. Cool, right? You can't really say it's a cure when we're less than 2 years in. But so far, this is looking to be super promising. That's all I've got for this episode. Please consider subscribing to the YouTube for short skeptical videos. There are over 50 there now, and when my new space is ready, I'm going to start adding to those. Thank you for joining me. May your health and sanity continue to be replenished daily. My eternal gratitude goes out to the following people. Jason Martin for helping me get started on this project more than 4 years ago. I wouldn't be doing this right now if not for him. Kathy Rayner for her musical contribution on the violin. Anyone out there recognize where that riff is from? Paul Palmer for his musical contribution on the guitar. He can be found at WPG Suitcase Drummer on Instagram. Dustin Harder for composing and recording the intro and outro for the show. You can find him on Instagram at Prairie Soul Music. I hope you will choose to join me again in 2 weeks for episode 107 of Living Through Extinction. If you enjoy Living Through Extinction and would like to support the show, the best ways to do so are to subscribe and rate and to comment and like positive comments on your favorite podcast player. Or you can help out by following, liking, and sharing on all the social medias. The show can be found under Living Through Extinction on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Pinterest, and TikTok, and under LTE Pod on Blue Sky, Hive, Tribal, and Twitter. There's also a Patreon at patreon.com/livingthroughextinction. There you can earn stickers, pins, masks, and more, as well as help me to plant some trees. If you have any comments, corrections, questions, or suggestions, please email them to livingthroughextinction@gmail.com or message me through one of the social medias.